హరే కృష్ణ. ఐ వెల్కమ్ యూ టు ది సండే ఫీస్ట్ క్లాస్ టుడే. అండ్ ఐ థ్యాంక్ ది డివోటీస్ హియర్ ఫర్ అలౌయింగ్ మీ టు గివ్ ది సండే ఫీస్ట్ లెక్చర్ అండ్ ఐఎమ్ హ్యాపీ టు బి హియర్. సో ఐ హవ్ బీన్ గివెన్ అ టాపిక్ కాల్డ్ ఎస్ రిజాల్వింగ్ ద కాన్ఫ్లిక్ట్స్ బిట్వీన్ డ్యూటీ అండ్ డివోషన్. It's a very difficult topic to, and it can be a long discussion, but just to fit within the time for us, we'll try to understand some of the things in a very short manner, and at the end of the class, if there are any questions, we'll take up and we'll try to answer to the best of our ability. So everybody knows about Mahabharata, and when there is a war, the Kauravas and the Pandavas are assembled on the land of Kurukshetra for fighting. And this is like the conflict which is there within Arjuna's mind now. What is duty? What is devotion? So those kind of things. So he's there in the middle of the battlefield, and he tells, and Krishna is the charioteer, so he tells Krishna to take his chariot in the middle of the two armies to find out who are ready to fight with him. So the chariot is taken by Krishna in the middle of the battlefield, and when Arjuna sees, and he has come there to fight, but when he sees that all his relatives are standing in front of him, he just gets perplexed. And he just leaves his Gandiya bow, and he is like sitting down, and he is having tears, he is shivering, and those kind of things. So at that time then, Krishna tells him that what's happened to you? So he says, all my relatives are in front, and he keeps on giving different kind of reasons for not fighting. He is a Kshatriya. As a Kshatriya, he has to fight, because he's a warrior. So warrior means he has to fight. But he is so perplexed by seeing his relatives, he thinks that what is the use of fighting? Because if I fight and even if I win, then what is the use? Because if you win and if you don't have relatives to enjoy with, then what is the point in me staying alone and not enjoying with the relatives? So that is what his predicament is there. And then Krishna tells him that, okay, what's your problem? And then he tells Arjuna is now ready to surrender himself to Krishna. He is telling in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 2, text 7. This is one of the verse where Arjuna is telling what is his state. So that is what the generally our state is also, when we are not into completely devotional service. So I'll just read out the verse and the purport of that, which is very nicely written by Srila Prabhupada. So I'll just read the verse. It's from chapter 2, text 7, from Bhagavad Gita as it is. Karpanya dosho pahata swabhava prichhami tvam dharma samuda chetaha yashreyasyan nishchitam bruhi tanme Shishyaste ham sadhi mam tvam prapannam. So now he is telling, Arjuna is telling Lord Krishna, now I am confused about my duty and have lost all composure because of miserly weakness. In this condition, I am asking you to tell me for certain what is best for me. Now I am your disciple and a soul surrender unto you. Please instruct me. And Srila Prabhupada writes a very nice purport on this. By nature's own way, the complete system of material activities is a source of perplexity for everyone. In every step, there is perplexity, and therefore it behooves one to approach a bona fide spiritual master who can give one proper guidance for executing the purpose of life. All Vedic literature advises us to approach a bona fide spiritual master to get free from the perplexities of life which happen without our desires. They are like a forest fire that somehow blazes without being set by anyone. Similarly, the world situation is such that perplexities of life automatically appear without our wanting such confusion. No one wants fire, yet it takes place and we become perplexed. The Vedic wisdom therefore advises that in order to solve the perplexities of life and to understand the science of the solution, one must approach a bona fide spiritual master who is in the disciplic succession. A person with a bona fide spiritual master is supposed to know everything. One should not therefore remain in material perplexities, but should approach a bona fide spiritual master. This is the purport of this verse. Who is the man in material perplexities? It is he who does not understand the problems of life. In the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, the perplexed man is described as follows. Yova etad aksharam gargi aviditvasman lokat praitisa kripana. He is a miserly man who does not solve the problems of life as a human and who thus quits this world like the cats and dogs without understanding the science of self-realization. This human form of life is a most valuable asset for the living entity who can utilize it for solving the problems of life. Therefore, one who does not utilize this opportunity properly is a miser. On the other hand, there is the Brahmana, or he who is intelligent enough to utilize this body to solve all the problems of life. Ya etad aksharam gargi viditvam sat lokat praitisa brahmana. The kripanas, or miserly persons, waste their time in being overly affectionate for family, society, country, etc. in the material conception of life. One is often attached to family life, namely to wife, children and other members, on the basis of skin disease. The kripana thinks that he is able to protect his family members from death, or the kripana thinks that his family or society can save him from the verge of death. Such family attachment can be found even in the lower animals who take care of children also. Being intelligent, Arjuna could understand that his affection for family members and his wish to protect them from death were the causes of his perplexities. Although he could understand that his duty to fight was awaiting him, still on account of miserly weakness, he could not discharge the duties. He is therefore asking Lord Krishna, the Supreme Spiritual Master, to make a definite solution. He offers himself to Krishna as a disciple. He wants to stop friendly talks. Talks between the master and the disciple are serious. And now Arjuna wants to talk very seriously before the recognized spiritual master. Krishna is therefore the original spiritual master of the science of Bhagavad Gita, and Arjuna is the first disciple for understanding the Gita. How Arjuna understands the Bhagavad Gita is stated in the Gita itself, and yet foolish mundane scholars explain that one need not submit to Krishna as a person, but to the unborn within Krishna. There is no difference between Krishna's within and without, and one who has no sense of this understanding is the greatest fool in trying to understand Bhagavad Gita. So in this, Arjuna is confused now. So I've just made some small notes on which we're trying to understand what the duty is and what the devotion is. That is what our conflict is now, that what is duty and what is devotion. So, a duty means, it is called as swadharma, or our occupational duties. Our occupational duties means that we are born with certain skills, so we have to utilize our skills to perform our duty. And what is devotion? Devotion is called as the Sanatan Dharma, or duties to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in this, there are three levels of dharma. One is the material dharma, that is, we can understand by the Varnashrama system. What is Varnashrama system? Varnashrama system is that the society is divided into Varna and Ashram. Varna is that we have the Brahmanas, the Kshatriyas, the Vaishyas and the Shudras. So there are different duties of all of them. And then the Ashramas are the Brahmacharya Ashram, the Grahastha Ashram, the Vanaprastha Ashram and the Sannyas Ashram. So there are specific duties for these Varna and Ashramas. So that is more detailed topic. But this is on the material level, that when we follow this, we come up to a certain level where we will be able to devote ourselves to God. Then the second is the what is called as the transitional dharma. Or transitional dharma means where we come to a higher level where we are performing some what is called as sadhana bhakti. Sadhana bhakti is like performing certain, say, chanting of the holy name and those kind of practices where we are trying to get from the mode of ignorance to the mode of goodness. That is the transitional phase. The material level, material dharma is on this level, transitional where you are transiting from one level to the another, and then you come to what is called as the transcendental dharma. Transcendental dharma means the pure devotional service. Pure devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So it is explained in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 2, Text 6. What is our dharma? So the verse goes like this. Savai pumsam paro dharmo yato bhaktir adokshaje ahituki apratihata yatma suprasidati. The supreme occupation or dharma for all humanity is that by which men can attain to loving devotional service unto the transcendental Lord. Such devotional service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted to completely satisfy the self. Purport. In this statement, Srila Suta Goswami answers the first question of the sages of Naimisharanya. The sages asked him to summarize the whole range of revealed scriptures and present the most essential part so that fallen people or the people in general might easily take it up. The Vedas prescribe two different types of occupation for the human being. One is called the Pravritti Marg or the path of sense enjoyment, and the other is called Nivritti Marg or the path of renunciation. The path of enjoyment is inferior and the path of sacrifice for the supreme cause is superior. The material existence of the living being is a diseased condition of actual life. Actual life is spiritual existence or Brahma Bhuta existence, where life is eternal, blissful and full of knowledge. Material existence is temporary, illusory and full of miseries. There is no happiness at all. There is just the futile attempt to get rid of the miseries, and temporary cessation of misery is falsely called happiness. Therefore, the path of progressive material enjoyment, which is temporary, miserable and illusory, is inferior. But devotional service to the Supreme Lord, which leads one to eternal, blissful and all cognizant life, is called the superior quality of occupation. This is sometimes polluted when mixed with the inferior quality. For example, adoption of devotional service for material gain is certainly an obstruction to the progressive path of renunciation. Renunciation or abnegation for ultimate good is certainly a better occupation than enjoyment in the diseased condition of life. Such enjoyment only aggravates the symptoms of disease and increases its duration. Therefore, devotional service to the Lord must be pure in quality, that is, without the least desire for material enjoyment. One should therefore accept the superior quality of occupation in the form of the devotional service of the Lord without any tinge of unnecessary desire, fruitive action and philosophical speculation. This alone can lead one to perpetual solace in his service. Prabhupada writes then, we have purposely denoted dharma as occupation because the root meaning of the word dharma is that which sustains one's existence. A living being's sustenance of existence is to coordinate his activities with his eternal relation with the Supreme Lord Krishna. Krishna is the central pivot of living beings and he is the all-attractive living entity or eternal form amongst all other living beings or eternal forms. Each and every living being has his eternal form in the spiritual existence, and Krishna is the eternal attraction for all of them. Krishna is the complete whole and everything else is his part and parcel. The relation is one of the servant and the served. It is transcendental and is completely distinct for our experience in material existence. This relation of servant and the served is the most congenial form of intimacy. One can realize it as devotional service progresses. Everyone should engage himself in that transcendental loving service of the Lord, even in the present conditional state of material existence. That will gradually give one the clue to actual life and please him to complete satisfaction. Again, in the next verse, Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 2, Text 7, Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojitaha Janayati Asu Vairagyam Jnanam Cha Yad Ahitukam. By rendering devotional service unto the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, one immediately acquires causeless knowledge and detachment from the world. Purport: those who consider devotional service to the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna to be something like material emotional affairs may argue that in the revealed scriptures, sacrifice, charity, austerity, knowledge, mystic powers and similar other processes of transcendental realizations are recommended. According to them, bhakti or the devotional service of the Lord is meant for those who cannot perform the high-grade activities. Generally, it is said that the bhakti cult is meant for the Shudras, Vaishyas and the less intelligent class. But that is not the actual fact. The bhakti cult is the topmost of all transcendental activities and therefore it is simultaneously sublime and easy. It is sublime for the pure devotees who are serious about getting in contact with the Supreme Lord. And it is easy for the neophytes who are just on the threshold of the house of bhakti. To achieve the contact of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, is a great science and it is open for all living beings, including the Shudras, Vaishyas and even those lower than the low-born Shudras. So what to speak of the high-class men like the qualified Brahmanas and the great self-realized kings? The other high-grade activities designated as sacrifice, charity, austerity, etc. are all corollary factors following the pure and scientific bhakti cult. So bhakti is the supermost occupation of the human being. So here he is telling us that how bhakti is the only topmost occupation. It is, we may say, that is our highest duty, or the devotional service is our highest duty to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So then we see that there are different examples in Srimad Bhagavatam. So first, let us take the pastimes of the Brahmana Patnis. Once, what happens that the cowherd boys and Krishna and Balaram, they are outside in the field and the cowherd boys are feeling hungry. So when they felt hungry, they always will go to Krishna and Balaram saying that we are hungry, no, we want to eat something. So Krishna and Balaram, in each of their pastime, they have something or the other where they present some lesson for us to learn. So here he understands that there are some Brahmanas who are performing yajnas. So he tells the cowherd boys that go to these Brahmanas and tell them that Krishna and Balaram, they are hungry and they want some food from you. So the boys run off to the place where the Brahmanas are performing the yajna. And they go and tell that the Krishna and Balaram, they are there in the forest and they want some food. So if you can give some food, then they will be happy. Now Brahmanas are performing the yajna to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But when the cowherd boys come and ask for food, they think that these are our ordinary boys, so why should we give them food? And there are certain, when they perform sacrifice, then there are certain stages in which the sacrifice is performed and then the food is distributed. So they were at a particular phase of the sacrifice where they could have given the food. But because they were too much attached to their ritualistic ceremonies, that means they were thinking that they were doing their duty by performing this ritualistic act, but they could not understand that they have performing it for satisfying the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And they were thinking that they were doing their duty, but they were not able to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead because they did not give them food. So the boys go back and run and they say that, no, they have not given us any food. What did you say? And they say that we told that Krishna and Balaram are hungry. So then Krishna Balaram says, okay, now you go to the Patnis Brahmana Patnis who are just behind there, they are preparing the food actually. So you can go to them and tell them that Krishna and Balaram are there in the forest and please give us some food. So the boys go to the Brahmana Patnis without the knowledge of the Brahmanas who are performing their sacrifices. And then the boys go, but the boys say that, again tell the Brahmana Patni that Krishna and Balaram are there in the forest. And when the Brahmana Patni just hear that, that the Krishna and Balaram are there in the forest, they say, where are they, where are they? And they collect all the food items, and without telling their husbands, they run off with the food to the forest. And when they go there, they are so much satisfied to see Krishna and Balaram there, and all the cowherd boys. They feed them prasadam and everything, and they eat everything, Krishna and Balaram and the cowherd boys. And then Krishna tells them, how did you bring this food? Why you have not, you know, given it to your husbands? Because they are supposed to performing the yajna. So, they said that when we heard that you have come here, we were so much happy that we forgot about everything like that, about them, and we have brought this food for you, specially. So Krishna says that, okay, we have had already a food now, so you can go back. So, but the Brahmana Patnis are very fearful of going back. They say that they will reject us now, because we did not follow their instruction now. They will reject us. So, the Brahmana Patnis, but Krishna assures them that when he goes back to them, they will accept him. So the Brahmana Patnis, even though they were, actually they were not supposed to give the food, but when it was, when they heard Krishna and Balaram, they took the food and went away. So as such, they were rejecting their duty, but they were doing it for the higher cause, for satisfying the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So even though they were not performing their duty as such, because they should have asked their husbands whether they could take the food, but because they were doing it for a higher cause, for the satisfying the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it was taken as pure devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So from this pastime you can understand that even though one is ready to do duty, but if it is not satisfying the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it has no meaning. And one, when he wants to satisfy the Supreme Personality of God, but when he rejects certain duties, the Supreme Personality is satisfied, then everything is taken care of. So that is what we understand from this pastime. Then the second pastime from the Srimad Bhagavatam is that of Srila Vyasadeva. Srila Vyasadeva, who is the incarnation of the Lord Krishna himself, but he is in the, as a sage he has come, he wrote lot of Upanishads and he wrote lot of literatures describing different kind of all the knowledge he gave for the human beings. So when he wrote all those things, still he was not satisfied in his heart. So when he was not satisfied, he thinks of his spiritual master, Narad Muni. So when he thinks, Narad Muni comes there and asks, what happened? And he tells that, I have written so much literatures, but I am not satisfied in my heart. So then Narad Muni explains that, yes, you will not be satisfied because you have not glorified the Lord. So Vyasadeva, he performed his duty as a sage of writing different literatures. Okay? But he had not glorified the Lord yet. So Narad Muni then tells him that you should write the Srimad Bhagavatam in which you should glorify the Lord. So when he does write Srimad Bhagavatam, at that time he becomes satisfied. Because when he glorifies the Lord, he has done his devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So even though he has, again in this example we understand that even though Vyasadeva, he has done his duty of writing so many scriptures, but because he had not glorified the Lord, he was not satisfied. But when he glorified the Lord, that is when he did pure devotional service, at that time he got satisfied. Now the third example we see in Srimad Bhagavatam, where Lord Shiva is speaking to the Prachetas. So there he is talking them to them about when one performs devotional service or when one performs just this occupational duty, what happens. So I'll just read the verse. It is saying that Swadharma Nishta Satajanma Bhi Puman Viri Chatam Eti Tatah Param Himam Avyaktram Bhagavato Atha Vaishnavam Padam Yathaham Vibudha Kalayatyaye. A person who executes his occupational duty properly for 100 births becomes qualified to occupy the post of Brahma. And if he becomes more qualified, he can approach Lord Shiva. A person who is directly surrendered to Lord Krishna or Vishnu in unalloyed devotional service is immediately promoted to the spiritual planets. Lord Shiva and other demigods attain these planets after the destruction of this material world. So here Lord Shiva is instructing, so that is called as the Rudra Geet, where he glorifies the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So here he is telling the Prachetas that even one performs the occupational duty correctly for 100 births, at that time he will attain the position of Lord Brahma. But if one is ready to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or he performs the devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he does not have to wait for 100 of birth. And it is just, he is saying that it is Lord Brahma. Then comes Lord Shiva, then the Vaikuntha Loka, and then above is the Goloka. So, but when you perform devotional service directly to Krishna, you don't have to go through all these different planets, or you don't have to occupy these places at all. You go directly to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, just by performing duty for so long, it will take you so much long time to go to Goloka Dham. But if you perform devotional service to Lord Krishna directly, where you perform your devotion, okay, you can go directly to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then the next example is where Rishabh Dev is teaching his sons. In that, he tells that Yevai Mai Yashe Krita Sahobadhartha Janesu Deham Baravarti Keshu Greheshu Jayat Majaratim Matsu Naprit Yukta Yavad Arthas Chaloke. Those who are interested in reviving Krishna consciousness and increasing the love of Godhead do not like to do anything that is not related to Krishna. They are not interested in mingling with people who are busy maintaining their bodies, eating, sleeping, mating and defending. They are not attached to their homes, although they may be householders, nor are they attached to wives, children, friends or wealth. At the same time, they are not indifferent to the execution of their duties. Such people are interested in collecting only enough money to keep the body and soul together. Whether he is an impersonalist or a devotee, one who is actually interested in advancing spiritually should not mingle with those who are simply interested in maintaining the body by means of the so-called advancement of civilization. Those who are interested in spiritual life should not be attached to homely comforts in the company of wife, children, friends and so forth. Even if one is a grahastha and has to earn his livelihood, he should be satisfied by collecting only enough money to maintain body and soul together. One should not have more than that, nor less than that. As indicated herein, a householder should endeavor to earn money for the execution of bhakti yoga. That is, shravanam kirtanam vishnu smaranam pada sevanam archanam vandanam dasyam sakhyam atma nivedanam. That is from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 5, Text 23. A householder should lead such a life that he gets full opportunity to hear and chant. He should worship the deity at home, observe festivals, invite friends in and give them prasad. A householder should earn money for this purpose and not for sense gratification. So here Lord Rishabh Dev is advising his sons what a grahastha should be doing. So these are the things that a grahastha should do that we just saw. And again, when Lord Narasimha Dev has killed Hiranyakashipu, and Prahlad Maharaj is praying in front of him, So when that is being done, so Prahlad Maharaj is worried about his father. So he prays to Lord Narsingadev, telling that if he could, you know, purify his father, because his father had committed so many sinful activities. So Lord Narsimhadev tells him that your father, just by my touch, has already been purified. Okay? So, but you have to do, as a son, you have to perform his Shraddha ceremony. Shraddha ceremony is that where one performs some ritualistic activities for relieving his forefathers from wherever they are there. By offering them the oblations, they go get a, if they are in a different planet, they get transferred to higher planets, or they get come to devotional service. So that is what. So dear Prahlad Maharaj, Lord Narsimhadev is telling, my dear child, your father has already been purified just by the touch of my body at the time of his death. Nonetheless, the duty of a son is to perform the Shraddha ritualistic ceremony after his father's death, so that his father may be promoted to a planetary system where he may become a good citizen and devotee. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada writes, in this regard, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that although Hiranyakashipu was already purified, he had to take birth on a higher planetary system to become a devotee again. Prahlad Maharaj was advised to perform the ritualistic ceremony as a matter of etiquette, for the Supreme Personality of Godhead under no circumstance wants to stop the regulative principles. So here we see that even the Supreme Lord, even Hiranyakashipu has been purified and he has been sent to a higher planetary system, but he advises Prahlad to perform his occupational duty, that he has to perform his occupational duty also. When Prahlad Maharaj, as such, he could have, Prahlad Maharaj could have also gone to the Vaikuntha planets. But Narsimhadev tells him that as a king, you have to rule the kingdom. So you have to be here also and rule the kingdom also. So after that, Prahlad Maharaj rules for some 36,000 or so. And as a king, he performs his duty there. So out of this, we see that one's occupational duty should be aligned in such a way that we perform our devotional service. So that is how then finally Krishna tells Arjuna what he has to do. So that he tells in the 18th chapter, Sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam vraja aham tvam sarva papyebhyo moksha ishami maasucha. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reaction. Do not fear. So now in summarizing Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that Arjuna should give up all the processes that have been explained to him. He should simply surrender to Krishna. That surrender will save him from all kinds of sinful reaction, for the Lord personally promises to protect him. In the 7th chapter, it was said that only one who has become free from all sinful reactions can take to the worship of Lord Krishna. Thus, one may think that unless he is free from all sinful reactions, he cannot take to the surrendering process. To such doubts, it is here said that even if one is not free from all sinful reaction, simply by the process of surrendering to Sri Krishna, he automatically is freed. There is no need of strenuous effort to free oneself from sinful reactions. One should unhesitatingly accept Krishna as the supreme savior of all living entities. With faith and love, one should surrender unto him. The process of surrender to Krishna is described in the Hari Bhakti Vilas. Anukulyasya sankalpa pratikulyasya varjanam rakshishyati iti vishwaso goptritve varanam tatha atma nikshepa karpanye shadvida sharanagati. According to the devotional process, one should simply accept such religious principles that will lead ultimately to the devotional service of the Lord. One may perform a particular occupational duty according to his position in the social order. But if by executing his duty, one does not come to the point of Krishna consciousness, all his activities are in vain. Anything that does not lead to the perfectional stage of Krishna consciousness should be avoided. one should be confident that in all circumstances, Krishna will protect him from all difficulties. There is no need of thinking how one should keep the body and soul together. Krishna will see to that. One should always think himself helpless and should consider Krishna the only basis for his progress in life. As soon as one seriously engages himself in devotional service to the Lord, in full Krishna consciousness, what at once he becomes freed from all contamination of material nature. There are different processes of religion and purificatory processes by cultivation of knowledge, meditation in the mystic yoga system, etc. But one who surrenders unto Krishna does not have to execute so many methods. That simple surrender unto Krishna will save him from unnecessarily wasting time. One can thus make all progress at once and be freed from all sinful reactions. One should be attracted by the beautiful vision of Krishna. His name is Krishna because he is all attractive. One who becomes attracted by the beautiful, all-powerful, omnipotent vision of Krishna is fortunate. So we also see that finally surrendering to the Lord is the summum bonum. And we also see in case of Srila Prabhupada, so as Srila Prabhupada, he was very old, but even that at that age, because his spiritual master had told him that he should spread the movement of Krishna consciousness in the English-speaking countries, even at that age, he traveled to the West. And even though he was in a Bowery where the people were not so favorable to Krishna consciousness, he preached to them, and later when they became devotees, and he was able to spread the movement all over the world. So that is what I had to say today. So if there are any questions or comments, they are welcome. Yes, questions. It depends on what you are, I mean, she's asking a question. Yeah, the question was, what if we miss our duties? So it depends on what type of duty that you are talking about. Particularly if in a family life, as a mother, if you are supposed to take care of your children, so you have to take care of your children. It is not that you neglect that and come and sit in the temple. That is also not correct. First, taking care of their children, that is important. And then, service to the Lord has to be done also. So it is not that you have to come to the temple. I mean, best is that whenever in the festivals and everything, you can come to the temple. But at home also, you have to maintain your home, because you have to not only satisfy your children, you have to satisfy your husband also at home. Okay? So your duty is that you have to take care of your home nicely and cultivate temple at your home nicely, so that you do your duty as well as you are doing your devotional life. So then automatically you are doing both the things simultaneously together. So then there is no conflict with your duty and your devotion. Yes. Okay. This is not in the thing, but I'll just answer that. I can tell at the last that that lady had one more question for her. Yes, Madhi, you had some question. No, that, yeah, yeah. Dhruva Maharaj. So he was, what exactly, I don't know, but I'll just relate to you what exactly happened in his life. So Dhruva Maharaj, he was the son of like a stepmother, and he wanted his father, he wanted to sit on his father's lap. Okay? So because he wanted to sit on his father's lap, but he was like son of a step queen, you know. His mother was like not so much liked by the king. So when he wanted to sit, and he went to sit on his father's lap, his mother came, the stepmother came, and told that he should not sit on his lap. Because he was a Kshatriya, he was very much annoyed with that. Okay? So he decided that, why should I not sit on mother's lap? But because, you know, his father was also in favor of that queen. Okay? So he had to leave. But before going, he met his mother Suniti and talked to her that, you know, this is what happened. He was crying so much. So his mother tells him that, yes, Jaya Shri Panchatattva Ki Jaya. So his mother tells him that, you know, we are being treated in this way because, you know, I am no more liked by the king. But you should not take it very seriously. But because Dhruva Maharaj being a Kshatriya, what he is very much like, you know, angry. She said, no, I want to get some more better place than my father's lap. Even my grandfather, who is Lord Brahma. So I want to get some better place than him. So he said that, you know, you cannot get just like this. So you can go to the forest and find the Lord Vishnu, and who will satisfy all your desires. And he starts walking to the forest. And while going to the forest, Narad Muni meets him, because he is just a boy of 5 years. So to distract him, like, you know, Narad Muni talks to him, you know, you are a small boy, there are so many animals in the forest, they will eat you up, they will do this, they will do that. But Dhruva Maharaj is so determined that he says, no, I know I am fearless, I am not interested, I am going to go to the forest and find the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Narad Muni sees his determination and tells him to chant the mantra, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. And Dhruva Maharaj starts chanting that mantra, and he slowly is eating the roots and everything like that for the sustenance. And one time it happens slowly over a period of time, he is just eating the leaves and dust, he is just breathing. Within 6 months, just by holding his breath, he could control himself. And because he is holding his breath so much that the whole breath in the universe stops and the demigods are worried. When the demigods get worried like that, then they approach Lord Vishnu, Lord Brahma actually, and from Lord Brahma to Lord Vishnu, and tell them this is what is happening. And then Lord comes and gives darshan to Dhruva Maharaj. And then Lord Vishnu tells him that, now when Dhruva Maharaj sees the Supreme Personality of God, he sees him within his heart first. And when he sees within his heart, and then he sees outside also. Okay? So he is so much overjoyed. His words don't come out from his mouth to glorify the Lord. But Lord, being merciful, he takes his conch shell and puts it on his head. It blesses him. And then Dhruva Maharaj comes out with a nice glorification of the Lord. And Lord gives him benediction that because of your devotional service, I am giving you a separate planet called as Dhruva Loka, okay, which is more higher than the Brahma Loka, his grandfather. But now Dhruva Maharaj, because he has surrendered, he is not interested in the material things at all. So Dhruva Maharaj tells that, I was looking for, like the material things, he was saying that I was looking for the pieces of glass, okay, but now I have got a diamond, why should I worry about the pieces of glass? So for him, the material things become like a pieces of glass. And he says that, Lord, you are like a diamond. When I've got the diamond, what is the need of those pieces of glass? So that is what the story goes. And then he comes back to the kingdom and his family is very happy. And then he rules the kingdom for a long period of time. That is, in short, the story of Dhruva Maharaj. Hare Krishna. Any other question? So as Uruprabhu was telling that he wanted to just know how I came in contact with Srila Prabhupada. Actually, I did not know at that time. When I got initiated in 2001, so I got initiated by His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj. and I went to take blessings of my mother. So when I went to take blessings of my mother, I bowed down to her and told her to give me blessings. So she started crying. So when she started crying, I said, and I was supposed to join the ashram full time. So I told her that, I just got initiated. I have not yet joined the ashram full time. So she said, no, I now understand that why you have taken up to this Krishna consciousness process so seriously. So way back in the 1970, 71 or 72, with all the kids, that we were four kids to our parents, so we had gone to Juhu Chowpatty. So when we went to Juhu Chowpatty, at that time the Hare Krishnas were going out with the Harinam Sankirtan, so they had come to our place also there. So but when we went to Juhu Chowpatty, that time my mother said to my father that let us go to this temple, these white people, let us go to and see what the temple is like. So when we went to see the temple there, at that time the construction of the Juhu guest house was going in progress, and the deities of Radha Krishna, that is Radha Ras Bihari, were in the shed. So we went in, had darshan of the deities, and I was telling my parents to come forward and take the darshan of the deities. So we had darshan, and then when we were returning, we saw that Srila Prabhupada was seated on an asan. So we said, okay, we should meet the Swamiji also, my mother said. So my father, mother and we four kids went to Srila Prabhupada and we bowed down to him. And I was like a small kid, maybe around 8-9 years old. So Prabhupada called me, made me sit on his lap and gave me banana as a Mahaprasad. So at that time I did not know it was Srila Prabhupada. But gave me a banana. This is what my mother related to me. So gave me a banana as Mahaprasad and told us that we should go for Prasadam. And we bowed down to him and Prabhupada put his hand on my head and then we left. And when we were going for the prasadam, somebody stopped us, saying that, no, you can't go there. My mother told that devotee that Swamiji has told, oh, okay, the Swamiji has told, then you can go for prasadam. So you are allowed to go for prasadam. So this is what the incidents happened, actually. And I did not remember, but when I was in Saudi Arabia and read Prabhupada Lilamrit, at that time I was just having some kind of that, I have seen this person, but I did not remember where and how. I have seen this person talking to me and, like walking and everything, but I did not remember. But only when I got initiated and my mother told me about it, I was able to understand at that time. So this is how, for a very brief moment. So that is why it is said that sadhu sangha lava matra hoy. So that is just by a small darshan of the sadhu, you can just take up to that devotional service. That is my small experience in this life. That, just by touch of Srila Prabhupada, I was somewhere in Saudi Arabia. I was staying there for 6 years. But Saudi Arabia, generally, they are not allowed to carry any books, not even a small paper, nothing. You cannot carry anything. But with Lord's mercy, I could get Prabhupada Lilamrit there and Chaitanya Charitamrit. And I read there and left Saudi Arabia and came and joined the temple full time. So that's it. So thank you very much for being patient and tolerant. Thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki. Hare Krishna.